was that? Somebody said, could I remember to read out the page numbers in the church Bible for people who want to follow it? And it's page 1214. No, it isn't. It's 1215. All right. I'm actually going to be reading from this big new church Bible here, which is an updated version. So, and we just sang, God opens the treasures of wisdom and knowledge to the humble, not to the proud. And the title of our talk this morning is True Wisdom. And it's based on what James says in his epistle, James chapter 3, and verses 13 to 18, where he talks about wisdom. And what, you know, the good things of wisdom, and also about the kind of wisdom that doesn't come down from heaven but comes from earth. But we're actually going to start by reading from verse 11, which we had a little bit last time about the tongue. But it talks about the source, and we'll realize that the source for what we speak is the same source for what is in our hearts. So James chapter 3 and verse 11. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done, in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Amen. And if we turn back to James chapter 1 in verse 5, we read this: if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. So we're going to consider a few things about wisdom this morning. True wisdom. What is it? Where does it come from? How do we get it? Don't we wish we had it? I'm older but no wiser, as the old song says. Interesting verse in Job chapter 32. There's a young man there called Elihu. You remember the suffering of Job, and all the old men are advising him and speaking wise words and telling them what they think. And then Elihu comes along. He's a young man. He says, it's the spirit in man, the breath of the Almighty, that makes him understand. It's not the old who are wise, nor the aged who understand what is right. And it's worth remembering that. Now, what is wisdom? Wisdom and knowledge, they're not the same thing, are they? As somebody once put it, knowledge is like knowing that a tomato is a fruit. And wisdom is knowing that you don't put tomatoes in a fruit salad. That's right, isn't it? I thought up a better one than that. Knowledge is knowing that a trifle is a dessert. It's sweet and it has sponge and jelly. Wisdom is knowing that you don't put a jellyfish in a trifle. Ah. Yuck. Wisdom can be described as making the correct use of knowledge through experience. Wisdom helps you make the right decisions. It helps you know right from wrong. It helps you to make peace. God, through wisdom, founded the earth, we read. The wisdom of our God revealed in the universe. And we read that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, respecting God, putting him in his right place. That's where wisdom begins. And David said this: I have more understanding than all my teachers because I keep your word. Good thing to remember if you're doing your A-levels. So they are. If you know anybody doing A-levels, encourage them with that. Wisdom is catching. Proverbs 13:20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. And folly is catching as well. You've probably heard the expression groupthink. Happens a lot in universities, I think. Everybody thinks and says the same thing, not realizing that they're all going astray together. And there is a false wisdom. In fact, the passage that Pete read right at the start of the service about the foolishness of God and the foolishness of man. The wisdom of God is wiser than the foolishness of man. No, sorry, the other way around. The foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man. The wisdom of this world is foolish to God. And in 1 Corinthians 1:21 it says the world did not know God through wisdom. That is, through its own wisdom. The world did not know God that way. What seems foolish to the world is the wisdom of God. It's the power of God for salvation. Proverbs 24 verse 3 compares wisdom to the foundation of a house. And that brings us back to the words of Jesus. The wise man, remember, built his house upon the rock. And how did he do that? By hearing the words of Jesus, taking them to heart and doing them. And so we're going to look at the source. And we read James 3, started at verse 11, and it talks about the source. Can fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? So what comes out of our mouth depends on the kind of tree and the source of the tree's nourishment, those two things. And as we read on, we realise that the same things will apply, and I think James meant that when he read it, that it would apply not only to the preceding passage about the tongue, what we say, but the following passage too, about wisdom. These same things apply to wisdom. What is the source, and what kind of tree are you? Now there's some quite nasty things spoken of in this passage. If you go on to verse 14, if you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. That's nasty stuff we're talking about here, isn't it? Now, we need to say a bit about this, first of all, jealousy and selfish ambition. Jealousy. There is a jealousy in a positive sense. It's a desire to have and protect what is rightfully yours. And even God is jealous in this way. He says so in the Bible. But there is a jealousy that is destructive. It's the desire to have something or someone or a position perhaps that is not rightfully yours, but you want it and you become bitter because you can't have it. And James goes into that in the next chapter, chapter 4. Now, selfish ambition. There is an ambition that is not selfish. It's the desire to use and make the best of what you have, the gifts and abilities that you have. And this is a God-given ambition. It's not to be despised. But selfish ambition has a different root. It's the desire to be in a position to control, to exert influence and power, to further your own ends, independently of God or anyone else, and to have recognition and acclaim for who you are for your own sake. That's selfish ambition. And the source, the root, is pride. And this was Satan's problem. Satan was the first one to have this kind of pride. And I'm going to read a few verses from Isaiah chapter 14. Can't tell you what page it's on right now because I've got it on my computer here. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. And this is talking about Satan, the devil. The Bible talks quite a lot about the devil, actually, mainly his failings and what his end is going to be, because Jesus is the victor. But here we read how he fell. How you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn. And that's a title of the devil. How you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. Above the stars of God I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the far reaches of the north. A bit mysterious that, not quite sure what assembly that is, but a heavenly one somewhere in the north. And then he says, verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. And there it is. That's what Satan wanted to do. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to sit on God's throne. And we get it again in the Garden of Eden. Satan, he's fallen now. He's been kicked out of heaven. Here he is in the Garden of Eden, tempting Eve. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So Satan is trying to tempt Eve, and afterwards Adam, of course, along the same path that he went. He wanted to be like God. And we get other examples of that in the Old Testament, particularly the Tower of Babel, when God came down and confused the languages. They wanted to be in control. They wanted the power. Nimrod, the king there, he was a mighty hunter, and they wanted to make a name for themselves. Selfish ambition. And God came down and confused the languages and separated them. Absalom. Prime example in the Old Testament, Absalom, a son of King David who rebelled against him. He wanted David's throne, so he rebelled against him. He came to a sticky end. And we got one in the New Testament, in the third epistle of John. Not a particular book of the Bible we read very often, but I'm going to read you, 3 John. There's only one chapter in 3 John. Verse 9. "I have written something to the church." Whichever church he was writing to. "But," and there's this fellow called Diotrephes, I think that's how you pronounce it, "Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us, and not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers, and also stops those who want to, and puts them out of the church." So, don't know who this chap was, but clearly a prominent leader in the church there. And he likes to put himself first. In other translations, the New Living Translation puts it like this: Diotrephes, who loves to be the leader. And in the Old King James Version, Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them. Who is it who is preeminent in the church? Don't be shy. Yeah. Christ. Yes. Where does it say that? Colossians chapter 1 verse 18. Colossians chapter 1 verse 18. It's the Lord Jesus. He is preeminent. He has the preeminence. But here is Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence. And of course there will be a final expression of this in a character, rather mysterious character, the Bible refers to as the Antichrist. Somebody who will come near the end of time, cause huge problems, but he'll be a hugely influential world leader, and he wants to be like God too. And it's like, let's read it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed. That day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. The man of lawlessness, the son of destruction, he's called. He'll be the very embodiment, the ultimate expression of a man after Satan's own heart. And he will come. We don't know when. When will the Lord Jesus come back? A day we're looking forward to. But we're not told when. But before that happens, there'll be time of terrible trouble on the earth, and this man will be at the heart of it. Even the disciples argued amongst themselves who was the greatest. Can you believe it? Can you imagine any of us arguing amongst ourselves like that? I can't, actually. But here they were. Yeah? Luke chapter 22, a dispute arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And he, that is Jesus, who knew what they were thinking and talking about, he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For who is the greater, the one who reclines at table, or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as one who serves." So these disciples, they've been 3 years with Jesus and they were still thinking in worldly ways, not thinking of the kingdom of God. So that's selfish ambition. It causes boasting. We read that, James 3:14. It leads you astray from the truth. Same verse again. It's earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Demonic, that is inspired by a spiritual origin, that is of the devil. And we're warned against, in Ephesians, isn't it? Chapter 6, principalities and powers. Note, this is plural, principalities and powers. So it's not just the devil, Satan himself, we're being told of here. The devil has his agents in place. Fallen angels who will pay you personal attention to try to discourage you and accuse you and make you proud, if he can, and divert you from the hope of the gospel. C.S. Lewis wrote quite a lot about this, and if you want to read some of the strategies of the enemy, read the Screwtape Letters, and particularly Screwtape Proposes a Toast. Brilliant books. And he talks about one of the well-known philosophers of the day. He talks about, in the voice of Screwtape, the devil, chief devil, oh, that invaluable man. Yeah, with all these worldly philosophers. He came up with the idea of human goodness and a collective will, and he laid the foundations of thinking for Marx and Lenin, perhaps with the best intentions, but he ignored the truth of the gospel. He'd forgotten the human race is fallen and cut off from the source of all life and goodness, and his thinking was foolishness in the end. And other people have written similar books since. But all that comes from the dark side. That's for trees that are bad at the root and or their nourishment. The water they're taking in is poisoned. What about the wisdom from above? Okay, time for us to cheer up a bit. Verse 17 in James chapter 3. The wisdom that comes from above, or comes from heaven, is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. That's lovely, isn't it? Wisdom is meek. It doesn't put itself forward. It seeks the preeminence of Jesus, and it prefers one another. We follow a king who is meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. God's wisdom is quite the other way round to the world's wisdom. As we read in Luke 22, Jesus lecturing the disciples. The kings, the great men of the Gentiles, they exercise authority and they're called benefactors. In other words, everybody is saying, oh, you're great, you're wonderful. God's wisdom is quite the other way around, because there is love. That's at the heart of God's wisdom. And I'm going to read you from that famous passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about love. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Those are lovely words, and there have been Christian songs with those words, and it's put to music. Love is at the heart of God's kingdom, and it's motivated by love that we want to prefer one another. And later on in the members meeting, we're going to have a statement from the elders report, yeah. And Peter put a lovely thing in it about all the different kinds of services we're having now, which don't suit everybody, but as we submit to one another, it works. And I thought, what a great way to put it. And I was really encouraged that he'd put it that way. So you'll hear that later if you stick around for the church members meeting. It's about being meek, it's about loving, and it's about being humble. If you really want, if you've got ambition in your heart, and it's a God-given ambition, God will help you at the right time to bring that about. I mean, he may tell you to do certain things to actually accomplish that, like go and study for a degree at university or something like that. But 1 Peter 5 verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Humble yourselves, that at due time he may exalt you. It's always a mistake to try and exalt yourself, put yourself forward. Let the Lord do it. It works much better that way. And cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares for you. And then he goes on to say this: be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith. See, the devil's going to tempt you to be like Diotrephes, the temptation to put yourself forward. Resist him. Surrender to God. Rest in God. He will exalt you in due time. He knows the right time. And finally, we hear there's the fruit of wisdom. James chapter 3, verse 18. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Well, that's wonderful. Wonderful. So, how do I get wisdom? I'm older, but no wiser. What do I do about it? Ask. In James chapter 1, we read, ask. If anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask God. And secondly, listen. In Proverbs, we read, particularly Proverbs chapter 1, it's all about wisdom. I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of righteousness, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth and the old, thankfully. When I look back on my life and think of some of the really stupid things I have said and done, sometimes it was because I was ignorant. Sometimes it was because I just didn't listen. I thought I knew best. And so it's good to sit at the feet of wisdom, and you'll find it in God's word. Read it and listen for God's voice too. So there we are. Two things. The kind of tree. It makes a difference what kind of tree you are. Ask God to make you one of his trees. If you've never done that before, he's only a prayer away, on your knees or in a quiet time, or with a Christian friend. Ask God to make you one of his. He's waiting for that prayer, believe it or not. And secondly, the source of the tree's nourishment. What are you feeding your mind on? The Bible, the Word of God, and the illumination of the Holy Spirit. That's the good source. Ask God to open your mind to understand what's written therein. And if you're facing difficult decisions, ask God for wisdom. Ask him to speak to you from his word or through a Christian brother or sister or through circumstances. Ask him to speak to you in a way that you will recognize as his guidance. And it's good to pray too. Pray with a Christian friend. And be humble. Before God, tell God you don't want to insist on your own way. But rather, not my will, but yours be done. That was Jesus' prayer. And remember the Lord's prayer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's the way to walk with God's wisdom. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that your wisdom is far above us, Lord. Even your foolishness is wise compared to our wisdom. And Lord, thank you that Jesus is the wisdom of God, that he came. And Lord, you've given him to us. You've given your Holy Spirit to us, Lord, to guide us in our hearts. And Lord, we do pray day by day, Lord, you'll give us wisdom, Lord, for the decisions, both short-term and long-term, that we have to make. Lord, that we'll be able to just honour you in our lives. Lord, that we'll go the way that you've planned for us, that we'll be able to keep in step with the Spirit. That's what we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.